something that a screwdriver is necessary for? How many guys, though, you didn't have the right tool and you tried to use another tool to do what another tool is meant to do? Yeah, maybe you're too lazy. You don't want to, or ladies too. Hey, ladies use tools too. So how many of us have done that? And it usually doesn't go well, you know. You usually end up, I've tried sometimes using a flathead to do what a Phillips head was meant to do, and I end up, you know, messing up the screw. Or you try to pull a screw out with a hammer, not so great. So you need the right tool at the right time for the right job. That's what prudence allows us to do. Which virtue is necessary for what I need to do, and determining that. He goes on to say, for example, prudence helps a soldier to decide when it's time for courage and when it's time for patience. It helps the care worker to know when it's time for compassion and when it's time for truthfulness. It helps the leader to feel when it's time for humility and when ambition is called for. But prudence allows us to discern how much, what expression of each virtue is fitting for each circumstance. You see, the virtues are not simple mechanisms that you enact each time in the same way. They are not like buttoning up your shirt that can be done mechanically and mindlessly. If being virtuous is an art, the virtue of prudence helps us to paint harmonious pictures. So, for example, prudence helps us in situations of conflict to discern the good balance between expressions of justice and expressions of self-control. Or it can orient us in embracing a new enterprise with the right amount of passion without going overboard and forfeiting diligence towards our existing duties. Remember, all virtues can go wrong either by excess or defect, and prudence helps us find the golden mean that is suitable for the given situation. So let me explain the idea of the golden mean. We've been talking about how a lot of virtues have excess and defect. You know, they're too much or too little. So courage is an example. You can be too courageous and you go into foolhardiness. Or you can have lack of courage and you go to cowardice. So wisdom is knowing what is right for the situation. Prudence helps us with that. So how do we learn prudence? Well, you can make lots of mistakes. That's one way to learn prudence. That's very painful. You will learn very well from mistakes. But you know what? There is a way not to have to make mistakes. What are some of the ways we can avoid making mistakes yet learn prudence? Any thoughts? Yeah, so I was the youngest of four brothers. I got to watch my brothers make tons of mistakes. It was very helpful to me. But you don't have to be the youngest. You can watch others. You can look at examples from history. You can look at examples in things you read from fiction, nonfiction, biographies people have written. What are some other places we can learn wisdom? YouTube? Maybe. You can learn things from YouTube, right? Yeah, that's true. I don't want to throw Laura under the bus. So we can also learn by talking to those with more experience. You see anyone here with a little speckling of gray? They might have a thing or two you could learn. They made a lot of mistakes they would like you not to make. But often they won't necessarily foist that on you. So you can go to them and say, in a situation, maybe a hard decision you have, hey, I'm dealing with this. Do you have any wisdom you could offer me on this? So taking advantage of those in us that have more experience. We also have this. What's this called? The Bible. There's a passage, I believe, in Corinthians, and also talks about in Hebrews, that you know all those stories, you may say, the Old Testament's hard to read. Well, those stories are there for us to learn what not to do. The Israelites made about every mistake you could make. You know, as you think about their time in the desert, the 40 years, how many times they left the Lord. There's a wealth of wisdom to see this is what not to do. So you and I can learn wisdom without necessarily having to make all the mistakes. Now, mistakes are good if you learn from them. Some of us are not wise. We keep making that same mistake over and over. That's called insanity, when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. You know, some people in their Christian life, they've done the same year over and over for 30 years. Don't be like that. We want to grow, right? Growing comes from reflecting. You know, that's where journaling can be a very good habit to develop, is taking time to consider your day or your week and saying, how's it going? What mistakes have I made? What have I learned? That's also nice to have like accountability partners and other people you meet with that challenge you to grow, help you to process life. You know, when I was in 11th grade at MCS, I was in basketball, and the basketball coach at that time, he kind of said, you know what, you guys, you're not wise. He was kind of blunt. And he said, you know, if you want to grow in wisdom, I challenge you to read Proverbs, a chapter of Proverbs every day for a month. And you know what will happen at the end of the month? You'll reach the end of Proverbs. And then he said, start over the next month, reading a chapter every day. Matt Tem might remember Coach Clark, right? I don't know if you remember Coach challenged us to do that, but Chris Ashcraft and I, a good friend of mine, we said, okay, we're going to do this. And we did that for like a year. And it was very helpful. You know, one way to learn wisdom is to get wisdom in your head. And Proverbs is full of those things. But what's interesting, we saw in these passages, one says, eat honey, and it says, you have too much, you'll throw it up. One says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. Another says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, because you'll be like him yourself. So you're like, which one is it? That's the discipline of, or the virtue of prudence, knowing what is right for the right time. So as we consider these passages in Proverbs 24, 25, 26, we see they pose seemingly opposite situations. Are they contradicting themselves? Not necessarily. You know, I think of, we had the fellows up there playing the guitar. So the guitar has tension on either side of the string. When this tension of those two opposite pulling is right, the string will be in tune, right? So wisdom will often come from things that are opposite. How do I know when I need to speak up, when I should be quiet? How do I know when I should have enjoy a good thing, but when what's too much of a good thing? And it goes to a variety of other things in life. So I'm curious. Don't have my one mic. Oh, you got it. My talk show mic. Back in my day, it was Donahue. Although Donahue was not very good. They always have strange stuff on it, like Jerry Springer. But, okay. I'm curious, what has helped you to learn wisdom? Maybe some of you that have some more wisdom. What's been very helpful for you that you could share with us that we haven't already talked about? Judea, and then Andy behind him. Okay. You didn't know you were going to be asked to participate. I won't force participation, but I think we can learn from each other.
So I can think back to probably a dozen people in my life who have invested in me, and sometimes they came to me and said, hey, I want to spend time with you. And just as many times it was me seeing something in someone and saying, I want what you have. I see Jesus in you. Will you help me have what you have? By the way, that's called discipleship.
I'm an Eagle Scout, and I've taught a lot of people how to make fire. And one of the fun things at our kids' camp in July is sometimes I get to teach them how to make fire, too, the right way, and safely. But one something that is being prudent is if you're going to make a fire, make sure you have all the stuff together that you need to make a fire. So you have all the nice little tinder ready, and then you have the kindling, and you have the fuel, so that way when you actually get that spark, it can actually work and actually have a fire, as opposed to, I got a spark, and it flamed up for about a minute, and then I have nothing to add to it. So, wisdom that way.
All right, demonstration. All right. Any other ways we've learned wisdom?
When you were talking earlier about journaling, for any of you that do it, I encourage you to write out your feelings and thoughts to God about the word or the situation that you're going through and the word that applies, rather than just writing it as without including him in the process.
I always think of the starting point. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. And the Bible says anyone
church we gather into groups. And those that are visiting are welcome to stay for that, but if you're not feeling like that, that's all right as well. But, you know, we can learn wisdom a lot of different ways. And we're going to go to the second point here. We've looked at how prudence is cultivated by understanding which virtues are necessary in which situations. Secondly, cultivate prudence in your life by being conformed to the image of Christ in your life. So the book I was looking at, Atkins, he also points out in his book that if we are not growing in discernment and wisdom and prudence, it reveals that you and I have a problem with Jesus. You might not have thought about that. Growing in the image of Christ will involve us growing in prudence and wisdom. Things that stand in the way of that are idols in our life or lies you and I have believed that lead us away from wisdom. Maybe lies from the world or lies from your experience. You know, that one phrase, once bitten, twice shy. You had something happen and then you came to a wrong conclusion and it is keeping you from wisdom. There are many prayers you and I can pray to grow in wisdom. You know, sometimes prayers we have, God might answer yes or wait or no. But one thing I see in Scripture, a prayer he will always answer is if you pray and ask God for wisdom, he is happy and more than happy to grant it to us. Now, it may be wisdom for a specific situation like Robert's saying, learning to discern the voice of God. But often he will teach us wisdom through life. It's going to take, like that apple tree, it's going to take some time. But God wants you and I to grow in wisdom. You know, our theme, as I said earlier, is study, imitate, and share Jesus. So when we study who Jesus was, what he did, you and I will get wisdom for how to respond to situations. He often did not play the games people played. You know, they would try to set him up. He knew how to dodge that and deal with it. I remember we used to have bracelets back in the day that say WWJD. What's that mean? What would Jesus do? There's a book by, I think it's Charles Sheldon, he wrote a while back in the early 1900s or late 1800s, and it was about this idea of what would Jesus do? Now, that's a great question to ask yourself if you're approaching a situation. What would Jesus do in this situation? Now, you may not always know the answer. That's okay. You know, Jesus didn't have to deal with AI and all these other things maybe that we've had to deal with, but if I know who Christ is, that he put the Father first in his life, and I ask myself, will this draw me closer to God or make me move further away? I think about these things. That will give you wisdom. Think about the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Okay. Do unto others as they would do unto you. This summarizes all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. So if you consider the golden rule as you're relating to others, you're going to be tended to steer towards wisdom. What would I want done to me in this situation? You know, if I treat others that way, it's generally going to be wise. So we can also pray to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Discerning God's voice. As you and I get to know God's heart, who he is, we will know better what his will be in a situation. We could also ask other godly people in our lives, more experienced people, what would be wise to do in this situation? So we have a number of young people here today. You know, I remember my dad used to say sophomore. Do you know what sophomore means? Yeah, a wise fool. Soph is wisdom. Moronic is Morris. You know, sophomore. So my dad would often call me a sophomoron in 10th grade. He did it in joking. You know, he wasn't being abusive with it. But he said, you know, at that age of life, you think you know everything, but you don't know as much as you think you know. At some point, like when you're 20, 25, suddenly your parents get so smart again. But if you can learn that then and say, you know what, this is an age on that I think I'm wise, I'm coming into my own, I'm starting to flap my wings, but I really am not having it all together. So ask people more experienced than you. And I think that goes on, you know, I turned 50 this last year, I still don't know a lot. Should know a lot. What's the Bible say? There's more hope for someone a fool than for someone who's wise in their own eyes. There's always things to learn. There's always wisdom of others. You know, we never quite arrive in prudence. We may know a thing or two, but we always have something more we can learn. So we've looked at cultivating prudence in our lives by understanding which virtues are necessary in which situations, by being conformed to the image of Christ, and lastly, Cultivate prudence in your life by learning positive fear and positive foolishness. So actually, this was mentioned, maybe if we see in Scripture, there's a negative fear and a positive fear. And how many times do angels say, fear not? We think of the book of Joshua where God says, don't be afraid, go take the land. So there's a fear that can paralyze us, that can lead to a lack of faith. But then there's a positive fear, a fear of the Lord. And Dana said this, the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. So maybe we just don't have enough words for fear in our language. But what's this positive fear? It's an awe. It's a respect. It's knowing that God is God. I am not. I don't have all it together. I don't know everything. Have you ever heard the word mansplaining? Have you ever heard that? What is mansplaining? Somewhat. It's a tendency with guys. I think women can have this as well. Guys, we want to kind of appear confident, so we always have an answer. We always know what to do. Don't give me directions. I know where I'm going. It's a pride thing. Women can do this as well, but guys can be guilty of this. Will we ever admit and say, I don't know? Let's say that word. I don't know. It involves us being willing to humble ourselves. If you and I are not willing to humble ourselves, we won't move towards wisdom. If we think we know everything, we always have to be right. We always have to win the argument. That's a sign that we aren't moving towards this positive fear of the Lord. So if we would grow in wisdom and prudence in our life, it starts with respect and awe of God. Now, it's all right to be competent. I'm not saying you go around just being an incompetent person all the time. But it's an attitude of the heart. Scripture, you know, it talks about negative foolishness, but it also talks about positive foolishness. What do you think I mean by positive foolishness? Think of what Paul says about the cross. What? Yeah, discretion. But there's a positive foolishness. We saw so many songs. Dying to self does not make sense to the world. What are things that God calls us to do that the world would call foolish? Love our enemy. Right? Take up your cross and follow me. Die to self. Give things away. The world would say, no, accumulate for yourself. Don't go to risky places. So there's a wisdom of the world that sometimes can be right, but it often is wrong. The kingdom of God is often upside down many times. Let me explain this. I remember my wife and I felt called to go overseas, to go to a country in Central Asia. And I remember a relative of mine came up to me and he said, you got a kid less than a year old. You don't know the language. What are you thinking? This is very stupid. I don't understand why you're doing this. It would be foolish, according to the world's view, but God was calling us to go, to step out in faith. So faith sometimes can seem like foolishness, but it's a positive foolishness, a trusting of God, trusting of his grace. God calls us to give, to love enemies, to die to self. These things would seem foolish to many in the world, but God calls us to that. So what does it look like for you to grow in positive fear and positive foolishness in your life? I'd like you to consider that. What does it look like for you? Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to adopt a humble posture before the Lord? Recognize that he is God, you are not. So today we've considered cultivating the virtue of prudence. This is not something that happens overnight. This takes time. It takes a disposition. As we talked about the apple tree, cutting those branches that grow inward, I would think of those as the selfishness in life. Sometimes we have to cut away that inward growing branch so it's growing outward. God calls us to die to self, to prune self, to be others focused and focused towards him. And as we do that, you will begin to produce the fruit of wisdom in your life over time. Just a last thought here. I don't know if you've ever, one way to grow really fast is ask people, what things do you see in my life that are foolish? I don't know if you've ever done that. That's a scary question. Maybe ask your spouse this, your parents this. Yeah, she tells you already. Sometimes they volunteer that information. You can grow really quick that way if you're willing to humble yourself and ask people. Now, not everything they say is going to be accurate, but it's worthy to consider if three or four people are saying the same thing. You go, there might be a trend here. today we've looked at this idea of cultivating prudence in our lives. Like an apple tree, it's going to take a number of years. But I encourage us, that one thing is like the tool belt that gives us the idea of what all the other virtues need to be used and when. So it is one of the foundational virtues to grow in Christ-likeness as you're being discipled and moving beyond just Jesus as my Savior, but Jesus as my Lord, who's developing me to look more like him in my life and not keep repeating the same year over and over and over again in my life, to grow into maturity in Christ. I'm going to close this in prayer, but I'm going to ask Image to gather around the sides. They're going to sing a song to us, and then I will close with a benediction. So I'm going to pray, and they're going to get set, and they're going to sing a song. And then afterwards, I'll close with a benediction. And then those of you that would wish to stay and go to Circle Church, we just kind of process this. You feel free to do that. We have that happening like in the gallery, the kitchen, up in the lobby, some other places. If you don't wish to stay, that's okay as well, but you're welcome to stay if you're a visitor today. We'd love to have you. So let me pray, and then Image will sing, and I'll close with the benediction. Lord, we want to grow in wisdom. We recognize that we are not as wise as we think we are. We want to grow in that positive fear, the awe of you, the fear of the Lord, and to grow in that positive foolishness that trusts you even in situations that don't make sense, to do what you've asked us to do that doesn't make sense according to the